The following message was preached on October 1997 at Grace Assembly in Malaysia. The title of this message is The Burning Bush. May God bless you with this message.
So be glad to come back tonight. Hallelujah. Usually people come back for evenings, ask for more. Hallelujah. I sense such a sweet presence tonight. And I sense that sometimes not a huge crowd which get more intimate with Jesus. Sometimes God tests us and see who want more, further, to get more intimacy, more closer to Him. I would say we have a whole night. Usually revival begins at midnight. So we're not beginning yet. See, because today people want everything fast. They want hamburger fast. They want the fast food fast. But when they come to the Lord, they want fast too. So today, many people don't know the art to wait upon the Lord. So they just come to the service or in their prayer time and say, Lord, I'm here, and I'm sorry, bye-bye. They just fast. They don't have allow God to do things in their life. Don't allow God to speak to them. And it's very sad whenever I see, because in China, we don't have any time limit law. Sometimes we're meeting for 24 hours. I'll be honest. 24 hours non-stop, except for lunch or dinner. That's important for Chinese. But, and then we're meeting even for 24 hours straight ahead. And such a hunger in the people of God there, and one more of God. And that's, I think that's some precious things we can have. In the past, revival, they did meet until after midnight, and really God began to move. I remember I just come from Singapore, right? Came from Singapore, last meeting, we almost finished at midnight. Actually, Spirit God just began, like waves, the big wave just began, you know, to hit after midnight. But not many people really want to stay. You know, sometimes if you wait for more, and God will come more. There's a river flood the storm of God. And in the book Ezekiel, you know, some people get it in the foot here, and some get to the waist, but some is just totally drunk in the spirit. And depends how much you want. Now, if you don't have a time for God, you just want to taste the water a little bit and pray with it. You know, just a little bit. But you want to go deep into the Lord and go and spend time and waiting upon Him. Allow Him to do. Sometimes we pray for people fall under the power of God, and then he immediately rises up. I say, that's it. I got it. I said, wait a minute. God haven't begun done anything yet. He do a little bit touch, but if you wait upon Him, He's going to do more. So in China, we have praying to do sometimes. We have a whole choir. Usually I pray for them for a whole afternoon. Because when they fall under the power of God, a couple hours cannot get back. And sometimes we're able to carry them out. See, they just wave upon the Lord. Lord, I have plenty of time for you. Do whatever you like. Because sometimes they travel for many days, many, many miles, just get to that meeting. You know, they don't want to just get a little bit touched. They want all God's store for them. So it's really a gift when we have that hunger for God. This afternoon when I was rest, I cannot rest. Why? Last night is the same. I cannot rest. Since Spirit God keep on waking me up. And things like, He wake me up. I don't know, Lord, what do you want to say? But He didn't say much. Then why you wake me up for? I said, just be with me. You are too busy. Just be with me. So I didn't do anything. Just rest in His presence for the whole night almost. Just be with Him. And He asks. Just be with Him. Sometimes if I'm falling in love with Jesus, it's like a new couple just know one another, just get married. You know, sometimes I just call up with Jesus. If you love someone deeply, your mind always think about Him. Is that right? When you're first in love, when you're really in love, you cannot stop. You know, wherever I go, I just think about Him. When I speak about Him. I don't want to speak of myself. I only care for Him. I only care what He likes. You know, I try to do everything to please Him. You know, I love Him more than myself. You know, it's the same thing. You just call up with Him. So wherever we go, you just think about Him. I like travel alone because then I have more time with Him. Sometimes He give me a single, say, "Son, just come, have a good time together." You know, don't worry about preaching, don't worry about ministry, just come to be with me. And that brings me to the intimacy with Him. That's all about Jesus. That's all about Jesus. It's not a big ministry. It's just to be with Jesus in my satisfaction. You know, that's really, I get the fullness in my soul. Just can be with Him. Sometimes I dance, you know. And then people ask me, why you dance like that? I said, dance sometimes expression, the highest expression of love. I know where you have that experience. In my teenager, I bring the girl out. You know, I try to dance as good as I can to please that girl. Is that right? You know, if you see the people in Africa, that's the idea. When they get married, they're going to dance, you know, before they mate. You know, because that's a very high expression of your love. Sometimes it's beyond your word. You just want to please Him. Sometimes in dancing. Last October, I'm in China, northeast of China. We're a small apartment, and they have a heater on. It's very hot. And outside it's very cold, but they cannot control the heater because it's a whole building is controlled. So the heater is very hot because we're about 50 people in the small apartment. And we lock in there for 3 days conference. People come from all over the place, young evangelists from different places. We just lock us up 3 days to be with Jesus in that small apartment. And then we begin to sing, we begin to dance, and hardly we can really, you know, stand because not many room. And when we dance, we you know, we hit somebody, you know, because the room is so small. But it's so hard, we're all sweating. But what happened is when we begin to sing and dance, the Spirit God begin to fall on that room, and everybody fall on the power of God. And you see the people, the body, you know, top on another body. There's a three or four layers. Some people is laid on the bottom, but he don't cares. He don't cares. Just be with Jesus. That happened not just one time. That's about four times or five times per day. Each time we sing, that happens. And then I scared. Sometimes I don't know. Because I begin to sing, people begin to fall. Because they are so hungry. And that room is so hard and so humiliating. But no one cares. Everybody wants to be with Jesus. No one cares something else. And we have a wonderful time together. So that's something is always get my attention. You know, you must develop a personal relation with Him. And sometimes He'll give you a signal and say, just give me some time. Just separate some time to me. Now, usually when I work before last year, I'm a computer engineer. And I work very busy. But I know the Holy Spirit in me never stop worshiping. The Holy Spirit is drawing the heavenly, you know, worship all day long, 24 hours, never stop. How do I know? Because sometimes He will show up. Now, in the midst of sleeping, there's a song begin to rise up. Or hallelujah rising in the midst of our sleeping and begin to sing songs. Because He never stopped in worshiping in my spirit. Sometimes I go out after work, 5 o'clock. Okay, sorry, it's time for me to go home. You know, I never bring the work back home because I just, you know, I say serve the God is my first job. The secret job is the second job. So I just go out and immediately I open the door of my company. The song begins to rise up. You see, He's waiting for a long time. So immediately I just open the door of my company, I begin to sing all the way to back home. Because He always singing, He's always worshiping, He always communicate with God. And then if you give Him chance, He's gonna be, you know, expressed out. And also during my work, every afternoon, I have 3 o'clock, I have appointment with Jesus. That's time I have to take a walk with Him. So about 15 minutes, it's not a long time. So I take every day 15 minutes. I say, Jesus, it's time for us to walk. And usually I find somewhere there's no one around. You know, I just dancing, I just worshiping, I speak in tongue, you know, and then find a small tree. And under the tree, I wait upon the Lord. And Spirit God will come. And I just rest in His presence. I get refreshed every day. That's the most wonderful time. Even in the meetings. And you just enjoy that personal relationship with Him, that He's not just be everybody, but also be with you personally. And that, begin to know him, and gradually you're going to know what he's playing for you. Today we sing a song, you know, we are in his heart, we are in his soul. It's not my own, but in his. Let him take the time to develop that. You know, because he must to establish the relationship before he can use you. After my personal revival in 1991, I spent about the half years every night stay with Jesus in my closet. There's nowhere else I want to be. Just be with him. And in that, during that half years, it's like a honeymoon. You know, in the past, I got saved when I was 12. But I know him in the knowledge. I know a lot of things about him. I know the Bible. You know, I can talk about it. You know, but I don't believe it. But the problem is, when I have a living encounter with this living Jesus, then everything changed. Like Job said, I heard about you, but now I know you face to face. Now I talk to you face to face. Now I want to spend time with you to know you. Because too precious. I wasted 18 years. I didn't really know this man I love. You know? And then I want to spend more time with him. Tell me more, Jesus, about yourself. Tell me what's in your heart. Tell me what's your plan for me. And now he began to unfold many, many things to me. Not just for myself, also for the nations. Tonight I want to speak about the development of Moses. How God trained Moses. How God developed this mighty man of God in the process. And sometimes Moses would be an example for us to know how God deals with us, with each one of us. I think God always has a plan, even before you know it. For me, God's prepared me for China. And in my very young age, there's a burden for China. I don't know why. And God put me there, even before I was born. He already know me. So there's a calling in this child. But there's a time for development. Because for when I was got saved, when I was 12, I was so excited about Jesus. And I'm a big Christian because in my church, most of them are intellectual people and rich people. Then I have a question, Jesus, you love all the people, but I only see certain people in the church. Where is those gangsters? They never come to our church. Where is those people which now sell the vegetable on the market? Those old ladies, they never come to church. And we think it's a different class of people. I said, Lord, let me bring the gospel to them. Let me bring the gospel to them. So actually, when I was 14 years old, I dedicated my life to preach the gospel. And then I began to talk to those gangsters and to find out what's their life, because it's completely different than I am. So I think I better to know, because I don't understand it all. So I spend time with them. The problem is I'm not prepared. I have passion, I have fire, but I'm not prepared. So instead I bring them to church, I go out with them together, be lost in the darkness for many years. But God still have grace on this child, even I go the wrong way. I think for the purpose for me to experience what they experience, but also let me know I'm a really sinner. But God still have mercy. Two times in the murder case, in the place that murder gonna happen, and always two times have a person I never know him before. In both cases, there's a person I didn't know and taking me out of the place. He said, you must leave this place. And when he dropped me out, he don't know why. I don't know why either. But if I stay in that place, maybe today I'm still in jail. See how God merciful is. Even at the time I don't want him, in the time I forsake him, but he still keep me alive. See, because there's a mark. There's a mark of Jesus. Jesus said, this is my child. Give him his life to me when he was 14. Even though I forget, but Jesus still remembered that. And when I was 30 years old, God just come back to me and reveal himself to me. And now everything makes sense. The Moses is the same. He's a deliverer. He's God prepared vessel for deliver his own people. But Moses, he just grew up and God keep him to to get the best education and live in the empire of Egypt. But Moses, no, there's something in him. He's not belong to that place. He should go to his people. He knows that calling. He knows that something is in him, that he's prepared for his people. But the problem, he tried to do his own. And when they see the people touch his people and he killed the Egyptians, and then he have to run away to the wilderness. You see, because he mistaken for God's timing. But God still keep him in the wilderness for a purpose to prepare his character. So there Moses is in the wilderness, now take care of the flock, the sheep of his father-in-law, and just do his own business for about 40 years. You know, so sometimes, for my case, I work as a, you know, I try to be a professor, and later I try to be a computer engineer. I just go my own way. But God has his plan also. Even in the wilderness, you don't know what you are doing. You still have a secure job, still do your job. But I tell you, God's still in the process. God is not forsaking you. If you have a calling in your life, you know, in early age, I tell you, God not forsaking that. God knows about it. When time comes, and God will let you know, and you have to come out of the wilderness and to serve this living God. But in the process, God just begin to deal with him. And sometimes I call this process called separation. And God separate you out. And many people don't want to stay in that case. See, God call us to separate ourselves. And sometimes a lonely walk. I go through this myself. And once you have called with the Lord, you can't have a normal life. You cannot be like someone else. Sometimes so frustrated with church, I just want to go back to a secular world. You know, just back to Egypt. So one time I go to a dancing party, go back to the old business. So I find a girl, try to dance with her. The first thing come out of my mouth is, where you go, which church you go to? And that girl look at me and say, what do you say? See, it's changed already. God already separated you out. There's no way back. You better go on. That's a loneliness. People don't understand you. Sometimes you get so hurt in the church. And things in this past is so difficult, it's so lonely. No one knows about you. You are in the wilderness and do your own business. Since God is forsaking you. No. But they will try to, you know, destroy you however he can. Because he knows the plan in your life. He didn't know exactly, but he knows this child has been marked. He better kill this child. That's happened to me many times in my life. I go through things, it's like 7 times more than other people. That's a furnace fire. But because God had planned for you. So that separation is very important. Spend time, now let God to deal with you. God has to do in the character of you, to bring you down, to bring you to the humbleness. And see yourself as real you are. And then he can use you. So take me 18 years. Take me 18 years to a point total desperation. Lord, I don't want to live anymore. I have no hope. I know I have a call to China, but I look at the church. It's complete dead church. Myself, it's not different than other people, you know, Gentiles. I don't see any difference, except someday I come to the service. I say, Lord, this calling, I think you make a mistake, Lord. I didn't see it happening. I don't see that going to happen. You know. And then comes a man of God come to our church to preach on revival fire. I said, definitely, I need a revival fire. But I'm used to very conservative and Presbyterian background. So I don't want to talk about Holy Spirit. But just, you know, God pushed me to a point, I have no other way, you know. So Lord, if the Holy Spirit is this way, if I really need a revival fire, I give you a last chance. I give you a last chance. If it don't work, I go to a political, I try to make a China president. Basically, that's the two choices I have. I can go to another political party, the same meeting, same time. The church have revival meeting, and there's a political party meetings. I'm the one of the sponsors. Then I have to make a decision. I have to make a choice. So that's why I say, Lord, I give you last chance. No, I give out this chance. I give you last chance. Otherwise, I can't serve this world. This grace of God. God knows his vessel. He don't allow the devil to use it. But I tell you, only a couple seconds decision that will impact a complete different my life. Complete different my life. So I say, it's not I can do that decision. I say, it's God's grace for me to choose the right one. In that revival meeting, I have an encounter with Jesus like Paul and on the road to Damascus. Complete changed my life. And then God showed me where I come from, where I am, and where I'm going to do. Everything clear. So take the time of process. You know. So sometimes I come to a meeting, I find the young people, I say, young people, if you give your life in the youth, God will never forget your vow to Him when you dedicate your life to Him. I lead many people, young people dedicate their life to the Lord before they are 15. Most of them are 12 in the same age I am. They may go away, but one day God gonna bring them back. So God has His purpose in our life. The one thing I can come back because I know the Lord when I was 12. Now, a lot of people which you know in the gangster with me, no one come back. Only I can come back because I have a Lord to come back to. So in this time, we want to go to the Exodus chapter 3 to talk about the in the wilderness, there one thing happened. There's one thing happened. The thing is, the Moses had experienced in the wilderness. When he take care of the sheep, he looking into the burning bush in the chapter 3. He look into the burning bush. First, he go to the mountain of God. I want to mention this importance because in the midst of your normal walk, you know, sometimes you never know what God prepared for you. But you have to come to the Lord. And that's what I call the mountain of God. You have to keep on coming to the Lord because you never know what God gonna do. And that's why I encourage my young people, you know, if a chance, come to the meetings. Come to His presence. Used to His presence. And you're gonna find more about your life. You're gonna find more about Him. So sometimes you have to go to meeting. People say, why? I can you know, read my Bible in the home. Why I have to go to revival meeting? Why I have to go to the place where the Holy Spirit is pouring out? But I tell you, sometimes you go to that meeting, it's going to change your whole life. That happened in Singapore last meeting. Many young people changed their life completely. I say, usually I have a job. I have two jobs. One job is I call the newcomers to join the army. To join the army of God. So wherever I go, I just you know, recruit the new person to come to the army. But sometimes I like MP. Some people running away from the army. They don't want to fight. I have to go out to catch them and bring them back. That's one of my job too. I remember one time I go to East Coast in the United States in a meeting like this. And when I begin to preach, a whole bunch of young people begin to weep and weep and weep. I say, come forth. And they'll all come forth. And when I begin to speak, harvest is reaped, but where's the workers? They're all weeping and bow before the Lord. And later on, I speak each one of them. I find out each one has a calling of God, and each one is running away. And they all back to the army. You know, especially one sister, when she go to the college, say, Lord, I want to dedicate my life to you, to serve you all the day of my life. He make that vow. She joined the church. And get so hurt. So many, you know, so many hurting people just against one another. And one day she's so frustrated and said, Lord, at that time I'm too young. I don't understand anything. I just make a mistake. So I take it back. Lord, forgive me. And I didn't come. Too late. Too late. Lord already do His job. You know, and call her back again. Since I need to share one powerful testimony, we'll bless many of you. first trip I go to China, I go to a place called Wenzhou. And in that area, in 1970s, a great revival happening after Cultural Revolution, actually during the Cultural Revolution. So, you know, 20 years later, here am I, come to the same area. I begin to preach. The first sermon I preach is talking about the glory of God left his people. So that day I talk about the glory left the Israel. And there's a man, 40-some years old, begin to weep and weep and weep and weep. Second day, next message I have, Jesus into the temple and cast out all the money changers. And this man still weeping all the time to the end. Then I'm curious what's going on there. So I begin to pray for people, everybody filled with Holy Spirit. But this man still weeping and weeping and weeping. And later on, I'm curious, I said, what's the matter with you? He said, you didn't know. When you lay hand on me, I see a vision. I see a vision, I am in front of the door, in the total darkness. I'm weeping, and the door never opened to me. But I can sense everybody is behind the door, which is light. I know it's light, but I cannot get in. I just cry, and ask for mercy to open the door, let me get in. But the door is still being closed. Then he said, when you lay hand on me, and then there's a voice come to me and say, give up everything and follow me. Give up everything and follow me. That's the only answer I get. Then I ask for more. Can you tell me your story? Now let me tell you my story. This man, about 20 years ago, when the Cultural Revolution came, and many leaders of the church has been arrested and persecuted into the jail. And then the church don't have any leaders. The young people, about 20 years old, begin to rise up and leave the church and bring the great revival at that time. They hit on the mountaintop, have a revival meetings, and God moving in powerful way and shake that whole area. Right now, in the Wenzhou area, there's about 20% Christians in that area alone. That all happened in the 1970s. And this man, at that time, had a great disease. And to a point, he literally dead. And he saw himself, the soul left his body. Just left his body. But in that moment, he watched his body there. And there's a young leaders, 20-some years old, begin to pray for him very hard. And here he come, he go back to the body and raise up from the dead. Then he give his life to Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, and begin to become a preacher. And not a normal preacher, a very powerful preacher. The people call him the messenger of cross, because he always preach on the cross. And people all weeping and give their life to Jesus in thousands in that area. But during that revival, about 2 years, very strong.